Welcome to another podcast. I am your host, James Wallace, and with us again this week is Mr. John Hess. John, welcome.
What's up?
Welcome. This is actually take three. This is the only time we've done this podcast where we've done more than one take, and it's mainly due to my brain being in Q3 finance mode, as well as being in baby prep mode. Down to 2 weeks on that, which is quite terrifying, but also exciting. So anyway, what's that?
Gonna be amazing.
Yes, it will be amazing, but I do feel a little more scattered tonight, so if you all listeners bear with me tonight, I will do the best I can, hopefully not do any more takes. So another week, another podcast. As we mentioned in our last podcast, we wanted you all to send, maybe if you had questions or ideas for the podcast, some things we could discuss, some topics. And we did receive a couple, and unfortunately we were not able to incorporate those into this podcast, but we hope to in future podcasts. But again, if you have questions, comments, start, sit, whatever, feel free to send them our way, and we would love to incorporate those into our podcast going forward. So feel free, let us know anything that's on your mind. So jumping into this podcast, we want to look back at Q2, man, Q3, week two and week three. Look back at week two and kind of maybe look forward to what's going on in week three. And unfortunately, I think week two was dominated again by injuries. A couple of big names, Barkley, obviously, tearing his ACLs, awful, fantasy aside, just for him, just feel bad. Tough injury for the Giants. You got him, and you got the San Francisco backfield. Bad McCaffrey. His only looks to be 3 to 4 weeks, maybe a little bit more. Tough to say right now. But again, such a lot of talent. Big names going out to injury. And we hate to see that. And we hate that that dominates the discussion in the sports world. But again, this last week, even defenders going down. Just a brutal week in the injury front. But we're going to look into maybe how that affects some fantasy players. So we'll jump right in on that note. We're going to do a little, I think John's going to lead this one, a little would you rather. So, John, take it away.
All right, we are going to propose, based on the injuries and the people that you could pick up on the waiver wire, maybe had stashed on your bench, who you would rather start. So I'm going to pose some questions to James to answer, then we're going to flip it and go the other direction. We're going to start with the Giants backfield. Obviously, they lost Saquon for the year, which is massive for that team. And it appears as though the main option is going to be Deion Lewis. Wayne Gallman going to get some carries. But I think the fantasy player that you want to have a little bit more diverse in his skill set is Deion Lewis. So, Jane, do you want Deion Lewis or Miles Gaskin?
Deion Lewis or Gallman.
You know what I'm saying? Would you want Lewis for the Giants, or do you want Gaskin for the Dolphins? Who would you rather have?
Oh, my goodness. Is there a neither button? I don't know. Honestly, the Giants O-line, I mean, as a Saquon owner myself, I was kind of getting a little nervous for Saquon just because the offense did not look good. The O-line did not look good at all. I know it's early in this season. You hate to rush to conclusions, but I don't want any part of that Giant backfield. And even if you add in they signed Devontae Freeman, I want nothing to do with that backfield. So for me, I'll answer that by default. I'll say Gaskin just because maybe a little bit more upside in that offense, maybe not as much competition. I don't know. I would just say Gaskin just simply by I do not want to touch that giant backfield at all.
I'm going to spit a couple more names at you, and that's good that you included Freeman in that. I forgot that they signed him today. So would you rather Deion Lewis or Devonta Freeman or David Montgomery?
Again, I'm just totally staying away from the Giant backfield at all costs. So I'm definitely taking Montgomery there. Now, to me, I think that's a lot easier one for me to answer.
So Lewis or Freeman or Ronald Jones?
I would also say Ronald Jones. I mean, he's going to get the ball some. You kind of worry about Fournette now. But Fournette's just a turf toe injury away from missing about a month and a half. So, yeah, I just trust the Bucks far more than I do the Giants.
DeAndre Swift.
Ooh. DeAndre Swift interests me solely for the purpose of Adrian Peterson. How much more can he go? I don't know. And no, they have Kerryon Johnson, but they obviously drafted Swift. They wanted to play him, so I would say Swift.
Okay, let's move to 49ers backfield, where it appears if Mostert is not able to go this week, and it sounds like Coleman will be out for maybe 4 or 5 weeks.
Yep.
It looks like Jerick McKinnon is going to be the main guy, maybe Jeff Wilson getting some goal line carries and just spelling him. Would you rather have Jerick McKinnon or James Robinson?
For this week or the rest of the season?
Rest of the season.
Rest of the season, I'm going James Robinson.
Okay.
Jerick
McKinnon or Malcolm Brown?
Oh, boy. That's interesting because I feel like they're both in somewhat similar situations. 49ers have a plethora of running backs, and as we know, the Rams backfield has a plethora of running backs, and it's almost like a rotational of who's not injured. It's almost like you play by default of who's injured, and I feel like both backfields have a lot of injuries that happen. Nothing ever too major, but it's always a couple of weeks here, a couple of weeks there. Boy, that's a tough one. I would probably say, I would probably say Malcolm Brown, but I'm not confident in that answer at all.
Yeah, Jerick McKinnon or Jack Elliott?
Say that last one again.
Jerick McKinnon or Josh Kelly, Chargers.
Ooh. Josh Kelly. I just think Josh Kelly, man. Week one, I was a little, okay, he got a lot of run time. Week two, he got a lot of run time, produced again. And I'm thinking that's here to stay. I tried to pick him up this week on waivers, but unfortunately, I actually bid the same amount on the waivers for him as someone else did, and I did not get him because I had a better record. So I guess hurts you to have a good team, I guess. But yeah, I actually like Kelly quite a bit here.
All right, last one, my section. We've got Mike Davis for the Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
So would you rather have Mike Davis or Leonard Fournette?
Oh, man. That is a boy. I mean, I'm putting on a spot here. I would lean Mike Davis solely for the fact that you know he's going to be the guy for the next 4 or 5 weeks. He's going to get the ball. It's just tough. Fournette, again, I'm just worried about. He seems to always be injury prone. He does have healthy competition at the moment. Boy, I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough one. I would probably say Davis, but I'm, again, not confident in that answer.
Okay. Mike David, Austin Eckler.
Oh, I'll take Eckler. I know Eckler's usage hasn't been as much as we all had anticipated, but given... Actually,
you all.
Yeah. I actually think the change in quarterback in San Diego or Los Angeles Chargers now... benefits Eckler more. So I like Eckler going forward a good bit. Still not as much as I did preseason, but I still like him.
Mike Davis, Miles Sanders.
I'll go Miles Sanders. Even though I'm not super high on Miles Sanders, sneak peek later down the line in this podcast, I'm going to talk about Miles Sanders. But just I think Miles Sanders is a starter and should be the rest of the season. But I'll take Sanders.
Last one, Mike Davis, Todd Gurley.
I do not like Gurley, to be honest. If I had to take one for the rest of the season and put him on my team right now, man, I would probably... That's a tough one. I would probably say, for me, Gurley, just because he's going to get the goal line work, what it looks like for the season, and Mike Davis just is going to be the next couple of weeks, because once McCaffrey comes back, he's going to be the guy.
But if you had a starter for the next 3 weeks, you would maybe pick Dick Gurley.
Yeah, I would. If it's just talking about next 3 weeks, I would take Davis over Gurley.
Interesting.
That's I know that may be, I may be in the minority in that decision, but I just don't like Gurley's usage. Falcons always seem to be throwing. They either way behind or get way ahead and then lose. I don't know. It's weird, but. But yeah, that's what I think.
That's my would you rather.
All right, I got a couple for you. I'm going to switch it up. You did a lot of running backs. I'm going to switch it up and do some receivers here. Starting Green Bay. I know Devontae Adams questionable for this week. So my first question is, of the other Green Bay receivers, who would you want? And you got Lazard, Valdez-Scantling, like.
I want Aaron Jones is the answer, which is also the answer to my receiver question. I don't feel confident in any of them. I just feel like the uptick is going to be seen for Aaron Jones if Devontae Adams doesn't go, and maybe even Jamal Williams.
That was my follow-up question. I was going to say, is Jamal Williams worth having?
Maybe as a low flex play if Adams is not active, but I would not be counting on him for anything in the RB2 range, because I just feel like the volume is even more so in Aaron Jones' favor this year.
Yep. Yeah, and I think I would agree with that. Nothing for Green Bay, really. I don't know. Literally, that doesn't do much. I'm going to go now to Texans wide receiver. I'll circle back to Green Bay. But Texans, Will Fuller or Brandon Cooks? Will Fuller kind of had a disappearing act. Cooks had a pretty solid game. So what's your take on that?
If you need to hit a home run, we are going to talk about this later. I feel like maybe this week somebody's looking at selling low on Will Fuller. I'm interested. But the safe floor play, I think, moving forward is Brandon Cooks. I think Fuller history is legitimately scary. And given the fact that he had zero targets Sunday, didn't really play much at all, that is scary for me, having Fuller in years past and just waiting for him to be healthy and never really seeing it happen for multiple games in a row. In fantasy, as you get toward the playoffs, you want people you can count on, and Will Fuller to date has not been a person you can count on. He may give you a great week, which he is the upside play, but I think the higher floor is Brandon Cooks. And I think it's going to get more as he and Watson get on the same page more and more.
All right, that's interesting. I don't know how I think about that. I don't know. So would you rather have Brandon Cooks or DJ Chark?
DJ Chark, no question. At this point, though he hasn't got the volume I would like to see. I think he's still the number one guy. Jacksonville. And Cooks is definitely not number one yet. So I'm in for Chark.
So on speaking of Jacksonville, is Chark the guy to have at wide receiver? Or someone like Keelan Cole or the rookie, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, something.
Denault.
That's it.
Dude's legit.
So out of those three, are you still going with Chark?
I think so, just for history's sake. But I will say I'm more concerned 2 weeks than I was, obviously, toward the end of last year. But I still want Chark. I feel like though he may not be the most talented, because I think Chenault may be the most talented of all them, I think Chark is the safest play with good upside there.
Interesting. I want to do a quarterback one. Minshew or Deshaun Watson?
You know, it's a good question. Watson, to this point, has struggled a little bit more than we thought, and Minshew has overperformed. But give me Watson for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I would agree with that, I think. But I have been really impressed with what Minshew has been doing. I love the stash as well. So maybe that would pull me more in his direction. But yeah, it's crazy because beginning of the year, I don't think that would even been even laughed at to make that even a comparison. But I think it's one that's at this stage is, I don't know, it's definitely one that can be asked. All right, so
the Texans' offense is definitely concerned right now.
Yep, and they've had a rough schedule to start the season, but it still doesn't justify the way their offense has looked. But yeah, and as a Will Fuller owner, I'm worried. If I'm a David Johnson owner, I'm not as worried, but still a little concerned. But we'll see. I know it's still early. And as I said last week's podcast, you don't want to overreact. You're kind of just still getting a sampling size of what things are going to look like. So yeah, don't overreact. But yeah, I mean, you got to take notice. So, kind of switching gears a little bit. I mean, there's been some surprises this year in fantasy football, I mean, football in general. I would say I wanted to name a couple that first I was completely wrong about, and I think it's just been surprises overall. One, it's kind of going to be a tag team at quarterback. I think one's pretty obvious. It's Cam Newton. I know you picked up Cam beginning of the year before the season started, and I was like, maybe that'll work out. But man, I even kind of, I don't want to say poked fun at him last week's podcast, kind of making it like he had a good week one. I don't know if he could replicate it. But man, if they use him how they've been using him, he could lead the league in rushing touchdowns.
He could.
I mean, he is the goal line back in New England. And yeah, it's just been wild what he's been doing. I mean, he even threw it well for the most part last week. So that's been a big surprise to me. And kind of off of that, maybe not as big of a name or as talked about, is Ryan Tannehill of the Titans. And then he's been fantastic. Multiple touchdown games. I think a lot of it has to do with teams are kind of stacking the box, trying to stop Henry. But man, Tannehill's been awesome. I mean, yeah. Will it continue? I don't know. But man, he's been fantastic.
Well, you have to ask yourself, are teams really going to stop stacking the box when you have Derrick Henry in the backfield? So, I'm in on Tannehill. I'm obviously not going to pick him up in our league because I have Cam. But he, I think, is close to a top 10 play every week.
It's a bold statement, but one that could prove true. What's one of your surprises?
I think one of the surprises for me is how low scoring it's been for Tom Brady at the quarterback position. Mm. He comes in, he has the most weapons that he's had since his days with Wes Welker and Randy Moss. And I thought they would be dinking and dunking the ball all the way down the field and that he might average 3 touchdown passes a game.
Yep.
And that has not been the case. They really have struggled. He's looked more human. Gronk looks like an extra lineman.
That's true.
And honestly, it seems like that may be why they brought him there. So we'll see how that continues to out. But I've been surprised by Brady that it doesn't appear as though the goal is to really throw a lot of touchdown passes there in that offense. If they could ground game it out, now with Fournette coming on and you have Ronald Jones, I could see each of those guys getting double-digit carries every week. Mm. And continuing to score low, even if they're winning.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, you wonder how much of that just a new team, new system for Brady, but it has been interesting, especially this last week. I mean, they had a great matchup, and he just looks off. But yeah, another one I'm surprised I have, and it's kind of, I'm just focusing on one little aspect. Chris Carson, obviously good runner, whatever, but he has been so active in the receiving side of things, and that's really surprised me. I mean, I think he's caught 2 or 3 touchdown passes already. Wilson's, it seems like the Seahawks are letting Wilson throw it more, which doesn't bode as well for Carson the runner. But I mean, this last game, they basically ran a pass play for Carson out of the backfield. Beautiful throw, beautiful play design. So to me, like, it's really surprising how involved Carson is in the passing game. I mean, if this continues, if he stays healthy, I mean, he could have potentially 6-7 touchdown catches, which for someone like Carson, who you drafted for basically as a runner, goal line work, I think it's just a huge plus. So, yeah, big surprise for me.
I think for me, another one, and I'm maybe more so always on the negative side, but is Zach Ertz. If I were to tell you that there was not going to be Nelson Aguilar, there's not going to be Alshon Jeffrey, and Wentz is going to chuck the ball around the yard, how many catches do you think Ertz would have through the first 2 games?
Oh, man. Beginning of the season, you think, okay, 8 a game, roughly? I mean, if you said 16 to 20, I'd say that's definitely possible. Very reasonable.
Yeah. 8 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown.
Man, and that touchdown is basically the only thing that's somewhat keeping him above water.
Yeah, because if it isn't, he has scored 10 points.
I mean, I think Dallas Goedert is actually outperforming him a good bit.
Yeah, and I know there's contract disagreements there. He wants to get paid. You don't know how that affects it. But I've just been surprised by that. I would have thought that both of them could have shined because they have no wide receiver, Deshaun Jackson.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. No, that's... Yeah, that is surprising. Especially where he got drafted, how much... If you're in the league where you bid for people, I mean, he went... I mean, probably second or third tight end. Probably third tight end of the group.
Yeah. In our league, he went for $18.
Okay, I mean, not as bad, but still, if you're drafting a tight end for $18, you need production out of that position. So yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, one last one I'm going to mention. Just, he's been blowing up. We touched on it last week when we kind of did a little, who would you rather have, Julio or Ridley? I think in the moment chose Julio. I think you chose Ridley. I mean, it's only week two, big season, but man, Ridley, just a touchdown machine. He's getting the ball. He's getting the looks. For whatever reason, Julio's allergic to the end zone. Even last week's game, Julio, they did Falcons did a trick play. Great throw by the running back, I believe it was. Maybe receiver. Deep to Julio. Dropped it. Just amazing pass. Just short-armed it. So for whatever reason, I think Julio's jinxed himself from catching a touchdown. But man, Ridley is just all over the place.
You did not think Ridley good. You thought he'd be good. But he right now, he may be the number one wide receiver.
I mean, he is right now, I believe, in our league with our point system. And I don't think it's even close. Has he scored two touchdowns in both games? I want to say yes.
Yes. He is the number one wide receiver, averaging almost 28 points a game.
I mean, obviously that's not sustainable. Falcons were down big the first game, up big the second game. But man, I mean...
their defense not good.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to score points.
Yep. Agree. But man, Ridley's just, I guess Ryan's looking for him. And when they get in the red zone, he's the guy. Opposite Julio, I guess defenses are still leaning towards Julio's way. So maybe really Ridley's just getting the worst coverage. But man, just what a start to the year. If you have him, good for you.
No doubt.
Anybody else on your surprise list?
I think that we touched on this a little before, but if you'd have told me that through two games, Derrick Henry had 56 carries, I would have been counting on probably at least three touchdowns, and he has none. Which maybe brings up to our next segment of buy low candidate.
Yes. I am all aboard the Derrick Henry train. If you can. I know some people are like, I've paid this much for him in draft night, or I drafted him in this position, whatever, and they won't trade him. Fine, understandable, whatever. But if you have somebody in your league that is starting to panic a little bit, I would definitely kick the tires and gauge their interest in the trade, because Henry's getting the ball a lot. It's just a matter of time before touchdowns follow. He's the guy. He's the man.
So how much time do we have for this, to talk about this?
Dude, as much time as we need.
All right, so would you rather have Derrick or Kenyon Drake?
Oh, I'm taking Derrick Henry all day.
Okay. Would you rather have Derrick Henry or Nick Chubb?
Henry or Chubb? Derrick Henry all day.
Interesting. Would you rather have Derrick Henry or Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
That's a good conversation. For me, that's tough. I'd have to think about that one.
Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor.
Derrick Henry.
So, if you had Jonathan Taylor, you would offer him for Derrick Henry, maybe with something else to spice up the offer to try and acquire Derrick Henry.
Potentially, yes.
Okay. Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon.
Derrick Henry, no question.
All right. Josh Jacobs.
Ooh, close. I have to think about that one. I'll take Henry, probably.
Dalvin Cook.
Man, that's close. For me, I'd probably lean Cook, but it's It's a slight lean. I don't know. I'm just on. He's going to get the ball. Tannehill is playing so well right now that defenses are going to have to not put as many people in the box. Maybe they say, whatever, make Tannehill beat us. But I think he's proving it already through the first 2 weeks that he can do that. And he hasn't even had his full complement of receivers to do that with. I think if you can get Derrick Henry, I don't know what it would take to get him. But I would definitely try to go after him. I just think if it's possible, now's the time to get him, because I think this would be the cheapest you can get him all year.
In your mind, he's still an unquestioned RB1.
Yes, 100%. I am not wavered from that. Do you agree with that, or are you a little more of on a not so confident as me?
I'm not as confident, and here's why. The guy has 56 carries. So, unless Ryan Tannehill forces defenses that we're not going to stack the box, I don't know that he's going to put up anywhere near the numbers he did last year, or even your numbers. Like, to me, I would probably rather have Nick Chubb. I would probably rather have Jonathan Taylor. Because I feel better about those offenses scoring touchdowns at the running back position. I just feel like defense have basically looked at the Titan. If Ryan Tannehill beats us, he beats us. But Derrick Henry is not going to beat him. And I don't know if that changes. Tannehill throws 3 touchdowns a game.
Yeah.
So I'm a little concerned, but it's all a matter of what people are offering, what you can get him for.
Yep. Yeah, and the thing is, I understand that side of it. I'm just more confident in the Titans to get Henry going than I would guess probably most people.
At Derrick Henry in the days of no touchdowns, 22 carries, 80 yards, and that was it.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I take credit for Derrick Henry's resurgence, because ever since I trashed him about a year and a half ago, he has been unbelievable.
It is true.
So I do take pride in that. Other
pros for you.
Another one, I think I'm not as confident with this one, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway, is to being obviously everything's about value and price, what you have to give up to get somebody. But if you can get Allen Robinson for a decent trade, I would definitely target Allen Robinson.
What's a decent trade in your mind?
If someone's just completely over, as you say, they're over the Bears, over Trubisky, don't think he's a good quarterback, trying to unload Robinson, if I won Robinson and I offered,
let's say Deontay
Johnson. Yeah, I would definitely do that trade to get Allen Robinson.
Okay. How about Will Fuller?
Yep, I would. Even though how much I love Will Fuller, that means something.
Amari Cooper.
Ooh. Yeah, I would do Amari. I would trade Amari for Allen Robinson.
Interesting. I think the Cowboys have so much volume, that would be really risky. Now, there's a great chance Amari Cooper gets hurt.
Yeah.
But just straight numbers. So Robert Woods, Allen Robinson.
Ooh, man. I would probably keep Woods.
Tyler Lockett, Allen Robinson.
Ooh, man. See, that's tough. In the years past, I would say I would get rid of Lockett, but this year seems to be a different Seattle offensive mentality. So I would probably keep Lockett at least for the next couple of weeks, just to see if they keep airing it out.
A.J. Brown, Allen Robinson.
I would take Allen Robinson.
Good.
So, yes.
Very good.
So, I mean, I'm I'm on Allen Robinson, at least for now. We'll see. I mean, he's getting lots of targets. You're just Trubisky. He just makes you wonder. But again, if you can get Allen Robinson low, I would hop on that. And one another receiver I will mention, he hasn't actually played this season. So maybe someone's just tired of, I don't know, waiting for them or the allure of draft night, them drafting them or whatever their view of them is lower, is Galladay for the Lions. Looks like he's going to be due back this week, so if you can get him before he actually starts playing, that would be ideal. But yeah, I like him. I've kind of put him in the same realm as Allen Robinson for now, I would think. I would feel comfortable with that. But again, just all depends.
This is the year Galladay takes the true leap to wide receiver one status, because if you remember, it seemed like he was coming on last year.
Yep.
And then the leading receiver for the Lions down the stretch was Marvin Jones.
Yeah. That's true.
So I think this is going to be the year where it's Galladay is the man.
I think for the Lions to win and be competitive, he has to be.
Fair.
So that's... Those are the kind of some what I was going through. If you could buy low on those guys, I would highly suggest trying at least. At least kicking the tires of those players' owners. Just, you know, some people may be reasonable, some may not. But hey, doesn't hurt to ask. How about you, John? Do you have any buy low candidates?
I think one of the biggest for me, and I watched his games because I actually have him in several weeks, but is AJ
Brown.
AJ has 22 targets through two games. And I will admit, watching tape, he looks slower, doesn't look quite as athletic, not getting as much separation, look like. But one of the big pieces of fantasy is opportunity. And when you have the ball thrown your way 11 times a game,
yeah,
there are not many receivers that can boast. So right now he's averaging like 7 points a game. But some of that's just unlucky. He had a touchdown called back in the first week because of offensive pass interference that was kind of questionable. So if somebody's given up on AJ Green, I could even see a scenario in leagues in which someone dropped AJ Green. I would definitely pick. And if you had somebody on your bench you didn't really care about and shot over a trade offer to somebody with AJ Green, I would be looking to acquire him because I think the chemistry is going to get better as the year progresses if he can stay.
No, I totally agree with that. And I think Burrow is just, as the year goes on, it's just going to get better and better. He already, to me, looks good, especially for a rookie. Yeah. But I think if you have some of those receivers on that team, you're keeping them for at least a couple more weeks to see what happens. But yeah, I agree with you with AJ Green.
So if you're selling high on dudes, who is it?
Oh, man. I think me and you may have some disagreements on some of my list here. One, I'm just going to throw this out because I know he's your boy, and that's Beckham. I don't like the Browns passing attack. I know he caught a deep ball last Thursday night. I'm not a believer. Maybe they'll prove me wrong. I just think they've had plenty of time to show their true, like, connection, their, I don't know, whatever it is, but I'm not a believer. If you can get rid of Beckham for maybe a low-end wide receiver two, maybe a mid-tier wide receiver two, do it. It's not about the talent, because obviously he's talented. I just do not trust the passing attack of the Browns whatsoever. So, but I know he's your boy, so.
Victor, there's no reason to trust the attack of the Browns.
Yep.
There's no reason. If you are a Jarvis Landry owner, you have to be super frustrated.
Yep.
Similar to what you were as Odell Beckham owner last year. you can't trust this team right now. You have to wait for a few more weeks. So I'm hanging on to Beckham just because the upside is phenomenal.
Yep.
And where you drafted him or the money that you spent for him, I don't think you're going to get that value back. So I'm hanging on to him in hopes that the connection finally has happened and that this is the break. I thought at the beginning of the year, best case scenario for Beckham is he gets traded.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people thought. But it seems now from everything that's been said that they're doubling down on the fact that they're not going to trade him. So I think you have to ride it out. Obviously, if somebody's offering you somebody like Adam Thielen for Beckham, something like that, maybe even DK Metcalf, who just looked like an absolute beast Sunday night.
Yep.
Those are guys that you have to kind of weigh the pros and cons of it. But I'm hanging on to Beckham for now because I don't know that you'd really be selling high, because I don't know that there's a lot of people buying Browns yet.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, in your scenario, I would take Thielen and Metcalf both before I take Beckham. But yeah, we'll see. I know this one may... I think me and you may have big disagreements on this one. I'm saying to sell high on Stephon Diggs. And I'm going to give you my reasoning, and I'm going to let you do your argument for the other side, because I think you're on the side of definitely keep him. But here's my logic. The Buffalo passing attack. Who was the last Buffalo receiver that's been with Josh Allen to have a really good fantasy year? I know Josh Allen's only been in the league a couple of years, but who's been the best receiver for them?
John Brown.
And I mean, he was decent.
I'm not saying he was great. I'm just that's who it was.
No, and you're right. And even, I mean, I know Diggs is probably a more talented receiver. But I don't know, it's just, if it's my reasoning is just that I don't trust Josh Allen, or I know they're a more run-heavy team, but they like to incorporate the running backs in the passing attack. Then they have Singletary as more of the runner, Moss more of the receiver. They kind of do both. I don't know, I just don't trust them. For whatever reason, especially when the weather starts to get a little cooler, they're going to run it more. I know that's still several weeks away, but again, I'm just not sold. I know he had the awesome last game. That's why if I'm a Diggs owner, I'm seeing what I could get. Just seeing, maybe ask a couple teams that you know that enjoy trading. Say, hey, are you interested in Diggs? What do you value him at? And just see what you get back. I think you may be surprised, and if you get someone decent, I would do it. I'm just not, for whatever reason, I'm just not on the dig strain.
It's fair. Not everybody is, but you're welcome to join at any time.
Because you are on the train.
I'm on the train, and here's why. Through two games, Diggs has been targeted 22 times. He has 16 receptions for over 200 yards and a touchdown. In his best year in Minnesota, which was last year, he was targeted 94 times for the season. He already has 22. He has 239 yards. His best year in Minnesota was 1,130. So when you're looking at these numbers, and obviously what you're arguing is he won't sustain it.
Yep.
And what I'm arguing for is all that we know of Stephon Diggs in a Bills uniform is they're throwing him the rock. And Josh Allen is chucking the ball all over the field, which I'll admit was even surprising to me.
And that can be good and can be bad.
I liked Diggs coming in, but I did not think it was going to be like this. Honestly, the Bills, as of today, have two fantasy relevant wide receivers. Stephon Diggs and John Brown. I don't think anyone was going to tell you that for a 10-team league at the beginning of the year. So I'm in. I think the Bills have changed of philosophy in how they're going about attacking, how they're going to use Josh Allen. But I'm in. The volume is there. Diggs is a big play waiting to happen. Part of what's hampered him in the past has been injuries. But there were several years where Diggs was an unquestioned wide receiver one. And I don't know that we're that far off of that this year. There's obviously other receivers I'd rather have. But where you got Diggs in your draft, you would have to be getting a whole lot of value back to be trading him away, because you draft him high. So if somebody's offering you something, like, throw me some names and I'll tell you who I'd rather have.
Godwin or Diggs?
Probably Diggs, because I think Diggs is more the man and Godwin's in an offense with Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady's never really had a dude other than Randy Moss.
Julio or Diggs?
That's a fair question, and I would take Diggs for touchdown sake only.
No. And the thing is, like, I can't argue with that. Like, I can totally understand where you're coming from. I just think there's no way this is sustainable, and if I have Diggs and a person like you is in my league, I'm seeing what I can get from you. Because if you view him in that light, I would say, okay, let's make a trade.
Yeah, if you have Diggs and buy it, I would definitely shop. His value is really high right now.
Yep, but again, you just never know what other people in your league think of a player. So maybe you want Diggs. Maybe you say, maybe someone like me has Diggs and thinks, okay, I'm not going to want him. So definitely, I don't know, see what's out there. One last player I want to mention that I'm selling high on, and I think you may agree with this, is Miles Sanders. My reasoning is I don't trust a Philadelphia running back. Been burnt in the past. Just won't do it. And I will say this kind of comes with an asterisk as well. I just think that Miles Sanders gets hurt, dinged up a lot. So I think his chance of staying healthy is not good. And yeah, again, it just goes back to I don't trust Eagles running back in the Doug Peterson. I know they don't have receivers. But with Alshon Jeffrey coming back, the two tight ends, DeSean Jackson, kind of spacing the field a little bit. I don't know. I just think I don't want Miles Sanders. Maybe for the next couple of weeks, I would definitely play him. But after these next couple of weeks, I'm trying to see what I can get for him.
Let me throw some names at you. David Johnson.
I'll take David Johnson.
Melvin Gordon, Miles Sanders.
Oof. Boy, that's a tough one, actually, for me. Short term, oh, man. I'll probably say Miles Sanders, but in the close one.
Mark Ingram, Miles Sanders.
I'll go Miles Sanders. I don't want that. Baltimore backfield just seems to be a throw a dart at the board and see where it lands.
James Conner, Miles Sanders.
I'll take James Conner. But, dude, talk about someone that gets injured. Man.
Todd Gurley, Miles Sanders.
I'll go with Miles Sanders because I think Gurley may retire in the next couple of weeks. kind of a joke, but kind of serious.
Okay.
The dude just does not look like he wants to play football.
All right. So, let me give you one. I'm selling high.
Okay. I'll give you...
My first one is Austin Eckler. And I'll admit that this may actually not be high. There may be a lot of people that are concerned about Austin Eckler right now. But I think if you could get somebody like David Johnson, somebody like Todd Gurley, somebody like James Conner, I am making that trade right now. Trading Austin Eckler to acquire one of those guys. Because I think the ship has sailed on the Chargers, and they don't know what they're doing. With Austin Eckler and Josh Kelly both getting like 20 touches a game.
Yep.
Like, what in the world is going on? We know in the past Austin Eckler has struggled to stay healthy. He's never been the feature back. One of the main parts of his game that makes him who he is the receiving game. And everybody wants to say, well, here's what he did last year. And he had Phillip. I don't care what you want to say about being in the same offense. If you don't have the same quarterback, it is different. And for whatever reason, they're just not using him the same way. Obviously, it could get better. I'm just of the opinion that this may be the highest point, and Josh Kelly may start eating more and more into his workload, which is going to make him less and less attractive in the weeks to come. So I would consider, if you could get one of those guys I just mentioned, I would try and do it. What are your thoughts on?
I'll have to think about Eckler. I think with the quarterback change, that I know they said it's not temporary, but I liked what I saw from the rookie quarterback. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. The guy from Oregon. Justin Herbert. I think he looked really good. And I think if he's in there, he's going to do more checkdowns to the running back, so I think that would boost his value. But again, that's a big if he's going to be the guy. So I can understand where you're coming from. I wouldn't be as on board, but it makes sense.
Is he in the discussion for you as an RB1?
Eckler? I would say low-end RB1. Still, I think he's still in that range.
All right, my second person selling high on, George Kittle. My reasoning. Clearly, whoever the 49ers tight end is that's in the game succeeds.
That's true.
But he injured so much. Now that Jimmy Garoppolo's hurt, who knows how long that's going to continue on? What will the chemistry be like with Nick Mullins? Like, how's all that going to affect it? I'm looking to get as much as I can out of Kittle. If someone's offering you something that you have, you perceive as good value, I would consider going for it with George Kittle.
Yeah, I would concur with that. I mean, if you don't have a tight end, he's definitely worth a shot still. But man, there are definitely some risks there. We have about a little over 5 minutes left, and we're gonna do what we do every week. We're gonna close out by picking our league games. Last week I went 3-2. John went 4-1. So for the season, we are tied at 7-3. So this week, I'm gonna start with. For some reason, I start every week with my game. I go up against Hof, and I'm gonna go with myself again. And the only reason, besides just sheer confidence, is I think Hof's players have really tough matchups. Mainly being one of his top running backs and receivers, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, is at Baltimore, and his number one receiver, Robert Woods, is at Buffalo. I just think there's tough matchups. They could struggle, and then I think the rest of his receivers are a little subpar as well. So I like my chances. Carson, Taylor, and I actually like James Robinson tomorrow night to have a big game.
Yeah, I think I echoed, though I don't even know who you're playing at quarterback right now.
That is still to be determined.
I don't love Hope's running backs this week. And he's thin at wide receiver, fast hooks. So, yeah, I'm going to go with James.
All right. Your team, this is maybe the two best names in our league battling it out. It's Chark Week, John's team, and True Biscuits and Gravy, Dustin. I think I'm going to go with Dustin on this one.
As painful as it is to say, I am also going with Dustin.
You're jumping ship this week.
Losing McCaffrey definitely hurt.
Yep.
If I had him, I'd have picked myself for sure. But I haven't lost all hope, but McKinnon would have to come up big for me. I feel like that's a big ask at this point.
Yeah, you would need big weeks. I mean, Diggs, A.J. Green, C.D. Lamb, Deontay Johnson. Two of those would have to have pretty big games, I think, for you to keep it close. But hey, you never know. It could happen. That's why you play the game.
It's fantasy.
That's right. Next up, we got Schutz and Edwards. I'm going to go with Schutz mainly because I like his receivers. I mean, Kamara's obviously good at running back, but I like the combo of Hill, Thielen, and Metcalf this week. And I just really, if Edwards doesn't have Adams, I think his receivers are really average at best. So I'm going with Schutz.
I'm going with Schutz as well. I think the week that Aaron Rodgers kind of comes back to earth, I don't think he's going to have a great game, which I think the Swamp has to have a big game in order to be competitive here.
Yep. Next up, we got Hilton and Melvin. This one to me is kind of a flip of a coin. If I knew Michael Thomas was playing, I would lean towards Hilton's team. And I'm still going to lean towards Hilton's side. Lockett, Juju, Jacobs, and Mike Davis, I think, could have a solid week. So I'm going to go with Hilton this week.
I think Russell Wilson is going to go bananas again. I'm going to take Crosby.
All right, he got a new tight end. Jonnu's going to play Daryl Henderson. A lot of question marks. We'll see. Lastly, we got a minute left. We got Doolin and Luke. 2-0 team versus 0-2. I think Luke gets on the board this week. I'm going with Luke. I like DeAndre Hopkins. I like Henry, as I basically lauded earlier. I just like that team. It's a tough one.
This is tough. Josh Allen has been going banana. I'm gonna go with Doolin. I feel like it's a safer call.
I mean, yeah, solid receivers. I mean, you kind of don't show and get with Julio and Robinson, but Cook and Hunt have been great. Mike Evans seems to be getting going a little bit. So, yeah, we'll see. Games start tomorrow night, so we're looking forward to that. But yeah, when man, once again, this hour has flown by. But, yeah, it's good. Thanks for hanging in there, John. Our smoothest night. We take a couple of takes, but I appreciate it. Thanks you guys for listening. And again, if you have any questions, things you want us to talk about, let us know. Give us feedback. We appreciate it. Until next week, We'll talk to you then.
See you guys.